Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to All About Service Dogs, hosted by your host, Doc Venzel. Tonight, we have Scott Stouffer with us tonight, and he is going to talk to us about why he is second to no one when it comes to canine life coaching. And he's going to let us know just what that is and why we should be interested. So, Scott, let's not waste any time. Let's get to you. Why don't you greet the people and go ahead and pronounce your last name, make sure I did it right, and share just a brief introduction on how you got involved with dog training, and then how you got involved with dog training for service dogs.
Hi, Doc. This is Scott Stouffer. The reason why I got into dog training was our family had a dog that nobody wanted, and she used to bolt out the door and run through the woods 22 miles, and just 22 miles driving to get to the place. And I taught her how to actually wait at the door, walk with me. You know, she walked about 5 feet, 10 feet in front of me, but she always did a recall. She always did checked in. You know, I was using food at the time, but it was my sandwich and things like that. And so we actually got to keep the dog because of we were actually able to take her out and stuff. And from there, I got my own dog several years later. And then I also got to work in Mount Shasta under a guy named Dave Thomason, who did service dogs for people who have PTSD, panic attacks, anxiety attacks, and bipolar disorder. And so we went up there with Elliot and learned how to do service dog work and public access, and what it takes to have a service dog. We learned a little bit of agility and search and rescue, but my dog excelled more at the service dog work. And then, of course, I got to see a few doctors from him and got diagnosed with PTSD, and I had anxiety attacks. So that's my little short history of how I got into training dogs. And I also trained a few neighborhood dogs. And throughout high school, I would train a couple dogs here and there. I never thought I could really make a living out of it until I actually moved out of the small town I was in and decided I was going to do it all the time.
All right. Well, that's great. Now, with that great little introduction, now we got people on the hook. They are ready to hear from Scott. And they're ready to say, well, he was able to do that for himself and for his parents and got to save his own dog. Maybe he can help me. Now, let me try to clean this up a little bit and make sure. So you were training service dogs, and then you found out that you yourself needed a service dog? Is that how that happened,
yeah,
or was that flip-flop?
No, that's exactly how it happened. I actually answered an ad that said, work with dogs and work with computers. I didn't know anything about computers, but I'm like, okay, I can work with dogs. And I applied, and the guy saw how I was with my dog, how I talked to him, and I didn't try and yell at him, didn't try and force him to sit, didn't try and get him to do, you know, force him to do anything else. He just listened and was able to pay attention to me, and we walked and brought his dogs. And my dog was interested, but he was able to work, you know, walk with me and pay attention to me. And he goes, you know what? Let's go talk about dogs, and I love how your dog interacts with you and whatnot. So let's go make this work. And then later on, after getting to know me and some of my history, he learned that I did have, he sent me to one of his doctors and found out I have post-traumatic stress disorder.
And so are you using the same dog now as a service dog that you had growing up? Or has that dog long since passed and you trained another dog for yourself?
No, unfortunately, he passed June of last year. Sorry, I might get a little emotional over him. Anybody that knows me or knows him, they knows how important he was to not just me, but a lot of other people. That was my boy. That was Elliot. But I have another dog that she's older, where she's taught her a lot of things, and she's, of course, not as great as what he was because she's helping me train with other dogs. She actually helps me more so with aggressive dogs, and I've been able to focus more on my dog training business, so I haven't had to really, I guess, worry about myself as much. She does comfort me, but I would qualify her more as an emotional service animal than a service dog at this moment. We do service dog work. I just haven't, being I'm doing dog training on my own, I haven't reinforced everything that I really, really need her to do, and it doesn't happen in public like it used to, and I don't have to rely on an animal as much as I did before. As, you know, not necessarily relying on an animal, but relying on her task that she was trained for. So we're learning to do more things with her, and of course now I have a second dog that takes up a lot more of our time that she's also helping me with.
All right. Well, that's great. That's great. You can get yourself a little drink of water or whatever it is you drink to make yourself feel a little bit better. And we'll keep on getting to know you and keep on finding out just, you know, your position in this wide world. But so you started training dogs, you got better at it, and you decided I'm going to make this a career, and you went into training service dogs. And how did you go from that to starting your own company? And go ahead and tell us how that company name came into being and what it means to you and what you want it to mean when somebody sees it.
Well, one thing that I really wanted to do when I moved out of the town that I was in, I moved down to Santa Cruz, and I figured since I'm starting all over, I'm going to do exactly what I want. I'm starting fresh. I didn't move into a place. I didn't have a job prepared for me. I just said, I'm leaving, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make my own future. I went to PetSmart and saw they were hiring for a trainer. Of course, I used my dog for an interview. Didn't really have to because I needed somebody to work with them. And so I worked with PetSmart for 3-4 years down in Santa Cruz and also in Redding, California, a transfer between. And then I kept getting calls for aggressive dogs and how dogs were either reactive, frustrated, things like that. And I really enjoyed the PetSmart program, and I wanted to get those dogs to show these people that, look, you can bring your dog in. And a lot of times it wasn't just the dogs. The dogs reacted to the humans, and trying to show the humans that there is a different way of training, because when you go into a PetSmart, it's positive reinforcement. That's their philosophy anyways. A lot of trainers don't stand up to that, but my stores that I was in, it was positive reinforcement. We did not use choke chains. We were not allowed to use anything other than what was than treats and leash and a collar or a harness, and we had to get our dogs motivation and get them to listen in class. So with that, I learned, I bringing that to the other people, with a lot of the people I worked with outside of the store, they were still used to looking more for the corrections in their dogs. So I had to change the mentality of, look, it doesn't have to be about the corrections. It's how we're going to get the dogs to listen, to find their motivation so they would listen. Like, I show them how to do it inside the house and then in public, and then they can bring their dog into the store and then pay for the classes and have their dogs sit, stay across the store and be quite proud of their dogs and be happy to show them in public. So what that brings me to is the reason my name is Second to No One Canine Life Coach. Now, you have to be certified to be a life coach for humans. But if I'm doing it for canines, I'm showing them skills that's going to help them with deal with our life. And so we actually take the time to pay attention to all of our dogs. It's getting the dogs to fit into our lives. We're the ones that have to go to work. We're the ones that have to pay the bills. We're the ones that have to take these dogs out for walks and everything else like that. We have kids to raise. All my stuff I wanted to be able to do in practical reasons. One thing that I learned with service dogs is you have to have a strong foundation. Any dog training, you have to have a strong foundation. I mean, there's so many more people with certain mental illnesses that are popping up, at least in my life, that I realize each dog that I'm dealing with has potential to be their own service, to be the service dog for the owner. So I wanted to build them a foundation that if they ever anything was to happen to them, that it would be able to transfer over to if they went for somebody else or they went for me. I wanted to make sure that it was acceptable for any positive reinforcement service dog trainer or handler. So with that, I developed my own basic techniques of what I expect the dog to do. And when I did with my service dogs, we just went at a little faster pace than I would with a regular obedience. Regular obedience owners aren't as strict as what they really want. As long as the dog's listening better than what it was, and they can do a lot of different things and come when called, answer their name, not touch stuff, not jump on people, sit at the door, not pull on a leash, all that stuff was easy. But with service dogs, as you know, we hold them to a higher standard. We hold them, we want them to be almost bulletproof, but we want them to be able to realize that there is emotions, and they have to be able to feel our emotions to be able to help mitigate our panic attacks and our anxiety attacks, and to be able to tune in with us a little bit more than the average dog. We don't always, some of us with mental illnesses get to go out into public, or if they do go into public, they need that assistance. They need to be able to count on their dog to do stuff. But we have to train them a little bit differently as far as what we expect from them. We still need to find their motivation. We just do things at a little more rapid pace than we would if it was regular obedience. But I got tired of people coming to me that are on a waiting list. They've already deposited $5,000 on a dog, and they had to wait 2 years for a possible match. I wasn't totally comfortable with that. If you have panic attacks and you have a mental illness, you need that dog then and there. You can't have that anticipation of looking forward. So I needed to find a way to make the people want to listen now, focus on what they have now so they can help with their lives on a daily basis. So that's what really sets me apart from other people is I love dogs, don't get me wrong. I love surrounding myself with dogs and going to dog parks and just observing dog behavior. But I need to be able to transfer that normal dog behavior to make them want to pay attention to us and focus on us and focus on the owners. When people come to me and ask for training, it's not just training the dog. It's also training the people, but also train the dog to fit into the human's life. That's what it's really about. Most people get a dog because it fits into their life. Well, not every dog is exactly going to fit into their life because nothing is perfect. Life is not perfect, and it's not always fair. But showing the dog what's actually expected of them so they can fit into the life of the human, the owner, the pet parent, the fur mama, fur daddy, whatever it is, that's what's going to help keep them in the homes. Not leave them in backyards to get returned to shelters or dropped off at shelters or some random neighborhood that they become a street dog and they become fearful of everything else and become a statistic.
Now that is a mouthful. That's a mouthful right there. I wanna put my laser red light on a thing that you said that it kind of resonates with me. You said what you like to do, and one of your hallmarks is that you train the dog to fit into the human's life. Now, a lot of humans, they don't want to admit it, but that's exactly what they want, is for the dog to fit into their life. And, you know, they don't make a whole lot of life changes because of the dog. They'll, in fact, get rid of the dog so that they can continue on with their life, most humans. Now, if you say that to somebody, you know, they look at you like, oh, no, that's not, my whole life is around this dog. This dog is the queen of the castle. This dog has the run of the castle and all that, which is well and good until, you know, you want to do something else and you get another priority. And then that dog, which has become the circle, the center of the circle, gets moved out of the circle when little Johnny is born or little Jamie is born or husband gets a transfer, or you buy the new RV or something like that. So I like how you said that, train the dog to fit into the human's life, and you make that a point that this is what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. You implied this, and I inferred it from what you implied, is by training the dog to know what you want, and once the dog knows what you want him to do, the dog will do what you want him to do, but you have to let him know what you want him to do, and as you said, give the dog the motivation to do it.
Exactly.
And then you could
eliminate. How much different than their kids?
Well, that's another story there. If you look at a lot of people's kids.
They just don't talk back as quickly.
Yeah, not trained too well. And I don't know how this positive. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't train kids. I work with the dogs. It's the thinking about how you want stuff done. Training, you expect something now. You're working towards one specific tiny little goal. But if you're coaching them, you start to look for a bigger picture. Sometimes it's just making the words a little bit different to help the people understand what you're really expecting of them.
Right,
sorry, I did not mean
right.
to interrupt.
That is okay. So let's talk about this and let's make it plain. You are really, really big in the positive training. And with the positive training, that goes into use good training techniques so you don't have to use all this equipment, but train it rather than use equipment. Is that
yeah.
what I hear? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. Now let's go into your business. Now, as I'm listening to you, I kind of get the feeling that your business is a dog training business with the goal of training the dog to fit into the human's life. So if the human happens to be disabled and needs a service dog, then that's the direction of your dog training. But the business is I don't want to say standard because then it sounds like it's like every other day, every other business, but it's pretty much a dog training business. And then you train the dog for whatever it needs. In other words, if I don't have a disability, I should still seek you out because of your training methods. That's what I'm trying
yes.
to get at.
Yes, mm-hmm. because I do want everybody's dog, whether it's aggressive, whether it's shy, whether it's fearful, whether you need that service dog or you just want some simple obedience, or you're just, again, you brought somebody new into the family and your dog's not understanding how to get along with somebody new, or you just get a new dog. It's going to be this. I'm going to teach a service dog the exact same stuff I would in obedience or with aggression. I want to be able to make sure my techniques are be able to go across the board. The only thing that I have not done is trained a blind person. I have not worked with a blind person. I have worked with elderly people that have a six-month-old lab. I've worked with elderly people that get a young pup. I've worked with kids that have a senior dog that really doesn't like people. I got to teach each one of them to be able to understand what I'm asking from each one of them. It doesn't matter if it's a dog, it's the kid, it's the person, it's the mom, it's the dad. I need to be able to convey what I need and have it reinforced when I'm gone, because I'm not the person that's going to be there every day. I'm not the one living that life. I have my own life to live, and as much as I would love to be bought for a couple months at live at somebody's house and help them do the exact same stuff, I know that's not possible. So I want to make sure that what I'm doing, the dog understands, and then the owners understand as well. So it doesn't matter if it is aggression or if it is a shy and timid dog. It's all stuff that we should be able to work through with the same kind of commands. I don't want to be like, oh, yes, this aggressive dog needs to have this, but I wouldn't ask for those tools on another type of dog. It should be able to fit all the way across the board. I don't use the tools on aggressive dogs. Why do I need to use them on dogs that don't need it? If I'm going to spend the time to get a dog used to the equipment, I can find that time to get a dog to focus on me better and to work through its emotions, not rely on certain emotions, but to work through them. Same
Very
with
good.
My service dogs.
And you spoke on that really well, and I like the way that you broke that down. Now, let me ask a couple more quite specific questions about your business. Is your business a for-profit business or a non-profit business, or do you have two different parts of it, or how is your business legally set up?
It is for-profit. It's not a non-profit yet. I haven't figured out how exactly I want to do it. I don't want to do it wrong, first off, and I have other goals that I really want to accomplish outside of just dog training. I don't want to be a dog trainer forever. I do want to do dog training forever. It's something that I love, and one day I would love to be able to give it away for free. But there's other aspects that I want to have as a nonprofit that I'm working towards, if that makes sense. I'm not that business savvy as far as what exactly a nonprofit is, how to get one, and the LLC and all that other stuff as far as what I really want to do. I just know I have different goals, and slowly, you know, I'm talking to certain people that are helping me out along the way as to getting to those goals. But for now, it's all profit.
Okay, gotcha. Now, the scope of your business, is it pretty much a local business, meaning people in your local area come to you for help, or do you reach out to people not in your area, or how is that for you?
As far as how my business goes, I'm based out of San Francisco, California, but I travel. If somebody needs help and I can find a way to get there, I will go out there to help them. I have traveled 2 to 3 hours out of my way to go help somebody else. And thanks to Facebook, I've been able to help people across the world in different states, if different counties, people that can't really afford it, they can seek me out advice. We can share videos, and I can help them out that way. Doesn't help the business exactly as far as making money, but like I said, I love giving information, and I would love to do that part of it for free. I have no problem going to somebody so they feel better that this is the dog acting up. Sometimes it's like taking your car to a mechanic. You know there's a problem, but it does not act up in front of the mechanic. You like to see what happens there. And not that I really want to set the dogs up to fail, but I've seen dogs at doggy daycares where they do not act up in a daycare. But as soon as they get home to the parents, the dog is totally different. So that's where the communication comes in, where I want to go visit and see what exactly they need. And sometimes I already have it in my head. I know what I'm doing to go, what I'm going to have to do and go and fix it. I always take somebody at their word of what they say their dog needs. And through daycare, I've been able to figure out finding dogs' motivations and how to get them to focus and pay attention in daycare, that I can help them transfer that over in at home. But I also want to make sure that if they are having a serious problem, that I take them seriously and that they understand that I am there for them. And then getting the dog to understand just if the situation does happen, you can prevent a situation from happening as often as you want. But every once in a while, something can happen, and all that training can go out the window if you do not see exactly what is happening, what the owner feels is a problem. Because you may have a perfect situation, everybody's listening, the dog's doing perfectly, but as soon as another dog comes in and the owner all of a sudden freaks out and gets scared, the dog reacts. For the last 3 months, everybody's been doing great. So sometimes I like to see what the human aspect of what that end of the training is going through, so they can help the person overcome their fear with, the more positive stuff happening with their dog, the more the dog does something positive, the more interactions they'll have, and the better will be and the better prepared they'll be for when something bad does happen. Sometimes you just have to see that bad situation because the dog just might flip right at a split little second just because you hesitated and you got scared, and the dog might not understand why.
Okay, that's super. So I'm going to do this right now because you brought it up, so I need to ask the question, then I can get rid of it. Do you run a dog daycare? Do you work for a dog daycare? How does that daycare come into your life?
The daycare, I do not have my own doggy daycare at the moment. I do have that as one of my goals and dreams, is to have a canine education center. I'm currently working at one doggy daycare, and I have worked at doggy daycares for just shy of 10 years now. I've spent 7 years at one. I got recruited to another one. I've got a couple other ones. I've asked for jobs at different places, and they see my videos. They see what I've done. They see my dogs. They see how I handle other situations, and they have no problem hiring me if they can afford me. Not that I ask, I'm expecting a whole lot of money, but I have no problem helping out with doggy daycare because I feel that is one of the best places to learn how dogs naturally learn. You see them playing together. They're the same species. We're a totally different species. We can't force our dogs to listen to us if we don't understand what their emotions are and how they react and how they interact. Dogs are all about, the immediate response of what they want. If we can't find that and motivate it, we can only force a dog to do so much in your life. it's a give and take. Just like any relationship, it's a give and take. Like this conversation, you ask a question, I give my response, and, you know, we're learning, we learn back and forth. It's the same way with any form of relationship, whether it's your boyfriend, your girlfriends, your spouse, your children. If you don't learn from them and only expect them to behave a certain way, you're going to have a backfire somewhere, and it's going to set you back, and it's going to affect the relationship in a more negative way longer down the road. And that's what I want to help prevent, and that's why I believe so much in doggy daycares. And that's another thing with my dogs, even though they're trained to be service dogs, I also want them to get into doggy daycares. Like, I want to prepare them. Like, I know what is expected from almost every doggy daycare. I've seen so many of them. I've interviewed at so many of them. I've seen dog walkers. I study and watch people so much that I see what they expect. So I can figure out, okay, this dog will do great in a big group doggy daycare that has a big backyard. This dog might not be so well, but this one these play groups are a little bit smaller and have better human interaction. That's what this dog is going to need. But when you do want to live your life and you have a date night, or you're leaving because your parents died, or your family's coming into town, Christmas and New Year's, and Thanksgiving, everybody's going to be busy. You don't want to feel like the dog has to be neglected, so instead of locking him away in a room, why not pay another $35, $25, $50 to leave him at a daycare for a full day, so when they come home tired, everybody's exhausted, and everybody can go rest peacefully, because dealing with family is not the easiest situation in the world. You don't want to accidentally take it out on your dog, because your dog now needs exercise because it's been locked up in the room all day, and you don't want to deal with it because Aunt Jessie got drunk and yelled at your kids. You'd rather just get the dog out of the way. They can go have fun. You can deal with your immediate situation, and you'll get your dog back tired, happy. Everybody else will be a little bit more mellow.
All right. Now, let's go back into trying to get you some business. When I listen to you talk and I listen to you talk about your business, I get the impression that you, in terms of service dog training, would be kind of leaning towards the trainer-assisted training. In other words, you pretty much take the person and their dog and you train them to train their dog, or train them as you train their dog, or however you want to word that. But I want you to word that for me in a way that it sounds like it's coming from you and not just you agreeing with what I said. So
yes, sir.
Is that kind of what you're doing, is the owner-assisted training, a trainer-assisted
yes,
training?
Sir.
I'm sorry.
I agree. Yes, sir. I totally agree. That's exactly what I'm doing. No, yeah, but you're on the right track. It's that I want to help coach the owners as far as it's their life. I want them to understand that your dog can't adjust to this. There's certain needs, and with service dogs, you have certain specific needs that even your doctor has said, a medical professional says you need help, and this is going to help benefit you. So what I try and do is get the dog to understand this is what your needs are, and have the dog pay attention to you a little bit more than the average dog would. And I show you how to get what you need out of your dog to help benefit you and your actual, that's going to help you recover, or at least, I don't want to say tolerate, but be able to handle the situation at hand. Because if you have a panic attack in public and your dog's never seen one before, it's not going to know what to do and it's going to freak out. You're going to be worried about what's going on. The dog's going to be worried about. And when you have a panic attack, anxiety attack, you really don't know what's going on. And if you're in public, it's one of the scariest situations in your life. I help dogs mitigate the panic attack. So before you go to have one, your dog understands and helps get you out of the situation. But it's still aware of where it can go and where it needs to be at to keep you safe. So it can calm you down, do some deep pressure therapy, do something else to help calm you down so you're not completely focused on your dog. Because when you're out with your dog, it's nice to always be able to be focused on your dog, but if you're not used to it and you need to go shopping and nobody else can do it for you, you just have to go and do it. There's certain medications you need. You have to go visit the doctor. You have to visit family at a restaurant or something like that. I want your dog to understand your emotions, so we have to work through. I show the dog what it is, and I work with you to accept that, accept what the dog's trying to show you and make it work for you. So it is an owner-trained service dog.
Okay.
If that makes all sense.
Well, it makes sense. I would put it a different way. I mean, yes, it's owner trained, but it's trainer assisted.
Yes, trainer assisted.
In other words,
the
owner,
the
owner's not out there on their own. The owner does have a professional guiding them and leading them, which is, in my opinion, the primo way to go about doing what you do when you're trying to have a service dog. A lot of people,
right.
You know, they want to do it all by themselves for whatever reason, and I just think there's more effective ways of getting to where you want to be. Now,
I totally
you
agree.
Early, yeah, I figured we were drinking out of the same cup. But you mentioned earlier that you worked with either Petco or PetSmart. That's not important to me, so I don't want you to say either one of those because I'm not pitching them. They don't pitch me. But what I know about them is their trainers are, well, a lot of their trainers are AKC associated. Are you also an AKC evaluator for the Canine Good Citizen and that group of training?
I am not as of yet, but I have been convinced it is better for me, especially now that I'm starting to deal with more and more shelter dogs and rescue dogs, that it is beneficial. The CGC, Good Canine Citizen is beneficial, and it's been statistically shown that it's dogs that have Good Canine Citizen have a lot less of a return rate. Now that people see, when you go to a doctor, you kind of want to see the letters behind their name, especially in the what you're looking for. So you identify with what that doctor is doing, it's going to help you. Same thing with dogs. They see that little bit of a title, they're more likely to reach for it. So that helps, and they have a tendency to pay attention a little bit better. So I'm really going to start looking at the AKC evaluator, being an AKC evaluator fairly soon.
Okay. I would advise anyone who was pursuing a life with dog training that for you to be able to be an AKC evaluator is a good deal because it brings credibility for you and it gets you in some doors that you might not have been able to get into, you know, before you're able to show them your work with your dog, which is another convincer. You know, you have this AKC stamp of approval, which actually means you've had the stamp of approval from other folks before the AKC will give you their stamp of approval. But until you get yours, you don't have to say you don't know any because now you know an AKC evaluator who can evaluate your client's dogs to put the stamp on the training that you work so hard to do. And so, you know, Doc, you know, an evaluator, but get that. It's well worth whatever the money is you pay for it these days. I don't remember what it is or what it was. I just remember every couple of years you got to redo it. Now,
okay.
You said you didn't do your own doggy daycare. So, inferring from that, you do not board train dogs, do you?
Not unless I have access to a doggy daycare. It's one that I'm actually working at, and we come up with something with the person that I'm using their facility with.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't shutting you down on that, and you were like, no, I got a board. I do that, yeah. Now,
I wish. That will happen in time. When it's supposed to happen, I'm going to push for that. It will happen.
That's one of those goal things. That's cool. Now, let's talk a little bit, and I guess I'll put you on the spot just a little bit. You can be the politician here if you want to, and it's okay. But when looking at breeds, do you look at, well, looking at breed and looking at service dog, what would be, I'm just going to ask it a big general question. I am not going to lead you one way or the other. What would be your comments about breed as in terms of service dogs?
I try to stick with one breed, but it's not going to work. I've worked with, you know, being the trainer that I am and pretty much every dog I see as a potential service dog. The only one that I would personally, my favorite, it's not even a breed, the favorite mix that I would love to have, and because he's worked with me so much, and it's, I've seen better qualities with these two, not that I would ever breed these two to happen, because it's just not going to happen the way I expect it, because I'm not a scientist. I love pit and labs, pit lab mixes. Those, that's my ideal one. Anybody that knows me knows why I'm saying that, because of Elliot. But I've seen some amazing Havanese. Malteses are great service dogs for mental illnesses. I mean, they're not going to be able to pull a wheelchair. They're not going to be able to do, you know, a lot of physical things. But they are great alert dogs. Schnauzers have impressed me a lot. I know they're extremely smart. I've run most of my schnauzers I've had to deal with have been, I've had to get them because of a problem. It's usually an aggression issue. But the ones I've gotten to see as obedience have made excellent service dogs. So there's not really a specific breed that I would see. Some dogs, we just excel. When we go to start doing the training, I'm just having a blast teaching them to do service dog work that I forget we're only doing regular obedience work. And the owners, me and the dog are so far advanced, we almost forgot about the owners. So we have to take a few steps back and then bring the owners back in and do stuff for them. So I've seen multiple breeds just excel at service dog works. Chavanese, they are a great one that works, which is King Charles. I forgot what the Chavanese really was. Havanese, obviously, and I cannot remember the C. I want to say Cavalier, but I'm not 100% sure on that one. I've helped make a service dog, a pug, a service dog. I've worked with a couple English, old English bulldogs and old Victorian bulldogs. At least that's what I was told it was called. Pit bulls make excellent service dogs. Of course, that's not exactly a breed-specific thing anyways, but that's a whole other story. But like I said, my favorite one is a pit lab, but that's also a little closer to my heart and a little bit biased. But the bully breeds, I think, can excel in almost anything. The Malinois do excellent as well. And German Shepherds do excellent. It really depends on what kind of basic training you put through them and how much you actually listen to your dog, and that's what I want to help you do, is listen to your dog to see what their needs are to help them with your needs.
I would love to see you work with a Malinois and the positive training aspect without extra equipment. That is one thing I'm interested in seeing.
They are fun. I bring them into daycares and people are actually... can't believe their dogs are actually accepted and survived the first week.
It's interesting. And, you know, that is something that would really be beneficial for me to see. Now, let's take a minute. And I got my little checklist here as things come up to me as you're talking. If I'm a person and... all of a sudden, my doc has told me I need a service dog. And I hear you're a really good dog trainer. In fact, you're second to no one. And so I hear this. So I give you a call because, you know, you had very good, you know, people are very complimentary of you. And I don't have a dog. But I need a service dog. And I come to you. I give you a call. I say, listen, Scott, my doc tells me I need a service dog, and everybody I know is telling me that you're the guy that I need to work with and getting a service dog, and I may as well just throw it in. And I got with a couple organizations before turning to you, and they all tell me they have 3, 4, 5 year waiting list, and I hear you could really do it for me in a lot quicker time. Talk to me, Scott. You just picked up the phone. That's what I said. What's your conversation for me?
I'll ask you some of your daily routines. You know, because I'm not allowed to ask you what is your disability. I don't have any right to know. The federal government states that very clearly, even though it's going to totally benefit me to know what it is. But again, if you have panic attacks, anxiety attacks, it could be caused for any number of reasons. and there's an any number of triggers. Excuse me. So what I would do is I would like to set up a meetup where we can sit down and discuss things. And, of course, I'm going to, like I said, we've already discussed the list of dogs I like. I want to sit down and kind of discuss more about you, find out what breeds you're looking for, what's your lifestyle. Are you one of those people that likes to go out, or, you know, are you one that likes to stay home? Do you take medication? How many people do you have living at home? How many people would be helping you? What is your support group? So we're not just, I don't want them to feel like they have to rely on the dog, because I'm going to make sure the dog works for them. I don't want them to feel like they have to have pressure of just relying on a dog. I want to know what other outside sources for support do they have. I mean, some people, that's all they have is a dog. Totally understand it, but we're going to see if we can get something else, something more, introduce them to a little bit more of a community. Ask them if they prefer to rescue, if they prefer to buy a dog. If they want to buy a dog, I'm not opposed to it. We'll find a breeder that is willing. I will sit and talk. I will do most of the legwork. I will ask them, you know, I'll see what their support group is. And I'll see what their needs really are for a dog and what their expectations are for a dog. And we'll discuss that. And then I'll ask them what kind of breed. And I'll tell them, you know, we'll set aside, part of the payment is we'll set aside time. We will go to a couple of shelters. You know, if they want to go to a shelter and find a dog, that is totally fine. We will go and try and pick one, or, you know, have a nice list of dogs we thought were okay. And that way I can go and observe them with each individual dog. You know, then we'll, hopefully they say, yes, I would like you to come work with me. We'll go take a walk down the block, you know, something that's not focused totally on us, and learn about what their needs really are. And I can kind of observe them as what's really going to help them. Do they lean a little too much? Are they slow walkers? Do they really need something a little bit older that's going to help assist them with a little bit more mobility issues? Or are they really kind of fast-paced and really need to start going and almost to the ADD part of life, that maybe we'll get something that they can go focus on and play ball with or go to the dog park with? Maybe they live a more of an active lifestyle and it's at home where they need more of the support and the disability really kicks in. Depending on what they really need is how we'll go for it. You know, I like to find a breeder too. I like to find I don't have a breeder, so I'm not going to be like, yes, we must go to this person. We can get a dog in 3 months as soon as this next litter comes in. You know, there's all kinds of rescue dogs we'll find. We can go as easily spend, you know, some shelters give away dogs. Maybe we can find something there that month, or maybe we have to spend $150, $300 for a rescue, or maybe they are willing to get put on they do really want a purebred dog, and we'll figure out what that is to help them with their needs, help them feel a little bit more accomplished, give them some goal and some confidence on moving forward.
Well, that's pretty thorough. I'm feeling comfortable already, and maybe I'll fly out to San Fran and see if I can't get me some good training and a good dog. Okay, so...
I do know of a good St. Bernard service dog trainer, too, that if anybody's interested in a service, St. Bernard is a service dog. There's this guy I know named Doc. He's a really good service dog trainer, too. So you talk to him.
Yeah, I believe that guy is, he goes all around the country to place dogs, but that's a different story. We're talking about Scott now. Okay, so let's do that real quick, because I'm looking at my clock, and it might take a lot of time for you to do this. One of the big things and driving force factors behind you and your organization is the problem with the time it takes for people to get a good qualified service dog. So one of your big things is to eliminate a lot of the waiting time on waiting lists. That's also one of my big things in what we do. But, how do you go about shortening up the wait time, if you can tell me without giving up any secrets?
Well, how I deal with it, like the waiting time isn't, if they want to get put on that waiting list for another breeder and that's what they want and that's, you know, promise them and they want to spend that money for that, I'm totally okay with that. Everybody is entitled to their own choice. If you come to me and you already have a dog, I'm going to use your dog. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that dog is going to listen to your needs and then focus on what you need. every dog can do it. We just might need to change some of the rules in the house so the dog's actually going to be willing to work for you. If you get panic attacks, anxiety attacks, and you don't let the dog on the bed, we're going to have to come to some sort of, you know, we're going to have to work on that so your dog's actually saving you. Maybe your dog's already doing it and you don't know it, and you're trying to look outward. I want to show you what your dog can actually do for you so it actually works with you, and the dog is willing to do it more and more without getting in trouble with it. Or maybe they're not doing it in a way that you recognize and you're getting hurt, like the dog's trying to jump up on you to get your attention because you might have a panic attack. And yes, you're focusing on the dogs. You're telling it to get off and you're getting upset. And that kind of, you know, riles some dogs up and makes them think it's a game. Show them how it's actually going to be beneficial to you, and the dog can jump up in a certain way that you'll know it's a trigger and that it's time to pay attention to the dog. If you need a dog, you don't have one, let's go find you one. Let's go make this a mission and go make this a fun little goal that we're going to set aside sometime, 1 or 2 days a week, and go find you a dog. Let's go find what's going to work for you. Not just because you fall in love with the dog, but because the dog's actually willing to and kind of work with you. That's why there's so many rescues out there that are willing to help me with this. You know, there you see a dog, I can use whatever the rescue wants to do and try it. You know, it's, I want to, we'll take the human, the patient, the person, the client, and we'll go out and find something that's going to work for you. Because if it doesn't work for you, you're not going to pay attention, and it's not going to happen, it's not going to help you, and you're going to ignore what the dog's really trying to do, and then you're going to ask for something else or focus on something else. But I want to get you mentally prepared to what your dog's capable of doing for you. If you need it to do tasks, yes, that's what we're going to go and try and find a dog to. I've had one client where the dog that they had, we did do the obedience training, and then later on something happened, but we couldn't get the dog to do the mobility task. Not the mobility task, but the physical task of opening doors and getting specific stuff. Because the dog had bad teeth, and it was going to cost, like, too much money that they could afford to get the teeth fixed so the dog could do more stuff for them. So we went and found another dog. So they eventually had two dogs, and we had to work with that one.
Okay.
I hope that answered the question.
I'm going to pitch up one last question just to stir the pot just a little bit, and then I'm going to give you time to free talk a little bit because you've earned the right to do so. But you being a trainer and not so much a service dog organization, but a trainer that trains service dogs, let me ask you, what are your thoughts on the current situation we have about certification and certifying of the training of the dogs and those types of situations? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I have them randomly. I'm not for it because it really, everybody would have to get together and decide if it was one specific way. And being the federal government made the rules on what they expected from everybody else to follow, from the state down to the counties, the federal made it to where everybody's supposed to follow their rules, that's it, which is fine because it's nice, it's tight, but yet it's still loose enough that you can make your own interpretation. I'm afraid of people that can't afford to go to these certification classes. I'm afraid of the people that can't afford more of the waiting list, and I'm also afraid that counties and states might sponsor certain, you can only have dogs trained from these three organizations. And that's going to bump everybody else out of the way. I mean, it's not going to be a monopoly, obviously, but I don't want to see, you know, only one or two franchises coming in and forcing people to be certified service dogs in a certain way, or the county saying they can only be certified through these certain companies, or we're not going to recognize it as a service dog. Because as we're learning more and more, it's not always about what the dogs can do, but now it's about the way the training's done. I mean, that goes to a whole nother thing. Positive reinforcement's great, and it works. It can work with anything, but there's people that get the similar results with shock collars and prong collars and things like that. But it's not showing that the dog's actually it's able to do the task, but it might not be able to do exactly what it needs for the person. So it's like getting, then you have to go through a specific type of training. And I just don't think America's ready for that. If government says you don't have to certify it, and I understand there's people lying about their service dogs. I run into it all the time. I live in San Francisco, and I'm pretty sure it's the mayor. Don't get me wrong. If it's, I might be misinterpreting this one, but somebody said it is okay for emotional support animals to go into the stores in San Francisco. Now, emotional support animals, service dogs don't have to be tagged. They don't have to be, they don't have to wear a uniform. Emotional support animals don't either. And then you live in a liberal city like San Francisco where everybody's bringing their dog. It does make it a little harder to understand who can do what, whose dog is having a task, and what's actually expected. And that frustrates the store owners. Store owners have their own rights, which they don't understand that they actually do have, because nobody gives them the pamphlets and says, you don't want to allow anything other than service animals in your store? Well, here's the questions you're allowed to ask. Most of these people that run into the public that have a dog and they say yes, it's a service dog, don't want any other confrontation, so they leave it at that. So when a service dog comes in and their dog's barking at ours, you know, what are they going to do? They can't confront both of us. They can kick us both out. They have every right to kick us both out if they say that it's a nuisance to the customers. They can't do it over allergies. They can't do it because the customer's uncomfortable. There's certain things that the store owners need to be taught from service dog trainers what's acceptable. So to answer your question, as far as certification, I am not for it. I do think we need to have our trainers have to set a standard for ourselves and be network a little bit better and talk about what's going on and things like that. But as far as certification, for now, because the government says no, I'm going to go with no.
Okay. I like how you say that. The service dog community should police itself and have standards amongst itself, and then the standards will better serve the needs of the community being met. Okay, that's cool. Now, as I promised you, I'm going to let you have some time. And, you know, there's some things you're passionate about, some things you want to make sure that service dog owners know. And I'm going to give you about 5 minutes to just free talk on whatever's in Scott's mind that the service dog community might need to hear. This is your pulpit time. You go ahead, my man.
Oh, my goodness. Now I get to do things on my own. Things I would like the service dog community to understand is, I mean, a good start is that service dogs can go anywhere. You do have a lot of help. It's not just Americans with Disabilities Act. It is fellow Facebook people. There is lawyers that will help you out. You're not alone in this. If you want to train your own dog, you have every right to. If you want to hire a trainer, like Doc and I agree, it's very beneficial to have somebody help you. It doesn't hurt to have a backup to understand what to expect, how to help you out, because we're taught and we are have learned how to find things that you just might be missing. It's no different than hiring a regular trainer for a regular dog. Your dog may be great, but just needs a little bit of fine-tuning. That's what we're here for. Facebook has made it very easy. I don't have Instagram, and I don't do Twitter, so I couldn't tell you. But I know with Facebook, it makes it very easy to communicate with other people and ask for help. And yes, you're going to get a little bit of backlash because you might say the wrong thing. But overall, if you find what you're really looking for and ask the right questions, there for you. If you need any help, just call ADA. They will tell you exactly what you need and how to help you. If you're a business, feel free to call ADA. They have workshops and they have pamphlets that will send it to you and help you understand that you are not alone in this. You do have certain rights as well as a business owner. You don't have to let every single dog in. If there's a dog peeing on something and it is a service dog, you are allowed to ask the dog to leave. If a dog is growling, you have the right to have them the right to leave. And for the general public, please do not interrupt a service dog. If that vest is on, if somebody says that's a service dog, and you've asked the two questions that you're legally allowed to ask, let them be. You're not going to do that to somebody in a wheelchair. You're not going to do that to somebody with a cane. that is something they need to live their daily life. That dog has been trained to be out there to help that specific person with their disability, to help them have a what we consider quote-unquote normal life. They want to experience more. They want to do that. That is them. That is their life. We don't criticize you the way you some kids are handled, or you bringing out five kids when you're only going shopping for 5 minutes. That doesn't matter. It's just about letting them have access to everything else that you and I or quote-unquote normal people would be able to do. They can go into a theater. They can go sit and watch fireworks. They can go to the state capitol. They can sit in a park. They can go to McDonald's. Whatever you want to do, they should be able to do. As long as it's not in surgery and as long as it's not at a zoo or a safari, they can do whatever they want. They need to go to court, and I hope a bailiff is listening to me on this one. If they have to go to court, the dog is allowed in there. If they need to go to a public library, they're allowed in a public library. Just please leave them alone. Let them live their life. If you like the breed, stop and ask to talk to the owner first, just like you would if it was somebody else's kid. Think of it that way. You're not going to go up and approach the kid. You're going to talk to the owner about the kid. You're going to talk to the parents about the kid, not the owner of the child. But, yes, you're not allowed to ask if what their disability is, what the dog, you can ask what specific tasks the dog's trained to do. You cannot ask the public about their disability. How many minutes do I got left, Doc?
Well, you're doing real fine. Oh, Lord, you only got a minute and 15 seconds, man, on your charade. Go ahead, unless you're done.
All right. And then if you have any questions as far as service dog work, there is people that will help you. I will help you. If you want, just give us a call, look me up, email me, anything that needs to be done. We will find a way to make it happen for you. If you're really struggling with something as far as service dog access, we will help you. If you're a business owner, and this is not something we get very often, but a business owner that needs help with service dog access, you're just too curious about the laws, or you want to have a workshop, I can help you with that. Many of us will help you with that. We're not enemies. We are friends. We're a community. Everybody should live together. We're going to have our quirks. We're going to have our issues. We're going to have our problem. But it is life. How we overcome it makes either turns negative into a bad, or turns a negative or a bad into a learning experience. Not everything has to be bad, and I don't want to traumatize anybody from anything. We want to be able to learn from any situation we have. It's only fair to the next person. Not everything is going to be 100% positive. Life is not all about living happy-go-lucky and never experience a negative emotion in your life. That's how a lot of service dogs understand it. Bad things happen, but sometimes they have to take a leadership role and help the owner out of the situation. That's what I expect. That's what I try and show people. That's how I work it with the dog, is not everything that's bad or scary is going to be a bad situation. It can be a negative. It could be a learning experience. It doesn't have to stay a negative and doesn't have to stay a bad.
Well, all right. There you have it. And the crowd went wild. And they're on their feet and they are applauding because they have never heard such a strong oration in their life. Well,
oh, you're so
I'll tell
good
you
for
what.
The ego, Doc.
Hey, you know what? I'm here for a reason. They got me here for a reason. But right now, let me say that if you are listening and you decided you want to make a comment, you might want to support Scott and say, hey, that guy is the bee's knees. He trained my dog, and that's just the best thing that's ever happened to me. Or if you have a question for Scott, you can call in right now at 646-668-2499. Now, when you call in, if you have a question or a comment to make, then what I need you to do is once you get in to the station, press the 1 on your keypad on your phone. Press the number 1 on the keypad on your phone. This lets me know that you actually want to speak, that you have a question or a comment. And then I can get to you to see what it is and get you on live. But if you don't press the number 1, then I think, oh, okay, they're just listening. And, you know, that's okay too, because you don't have to talk in order to listen by your phone. you might need it to be mobile and didn't need to be on your computer. And so you were listening by your phone because that's the only way you knew how to get into the live broadcast. So if you want to speak, I'm going to give just a little bit for you to dial in and press the 1 on your phone keypad. Scott, in the meantime, just in case nobody wants to speak and we go ahead and bring the show to a close, go ahead and thank the people and, you know, give your greeting to the people and let the people know how to get in touch with you if they want to get in touch with you, how they can find you on Facebook or your website or any of those ways. Let them know, Scott, and go ahead and say goodnight.
Thank you, America, for listening in, calling in, those of you that want to call in. Thank you so much, Doc, for this interview. It means so much to me, and it's nice to express myself to a larger audience. If you want to get a hold of me, just, you know, send me an email or hit me up on Facebook, which is Scott Stauffer, and also my business page, Second to No One K9 Life Coach, and my webpage is www.k9lifecoach.com. Now, the tricky part on this is it's not K9 spelled out. It's the letter K, the number 9, Life Coach. So if you're looking up on Facebook, it's going to be K, letter K, number 9, Life Coach. Same thing with my website, www.k9lifecoach.com. My email is one that I've had for so long, and it was not a good idea when I first did it, but I'm sticking with it because I'm stubborn anyways. dogtrainingsecondtonoone@yahoo.com. And it's second to no one as in number 2, N-D, number 2 again, letters N-O, and then the number 1 at yahoo.com. And that goes for my business, Second to No One K9 Life Coach. And again, thank you guys so much. Thank you so much, Doc, for listening in. And all my clients and anybody else I know and everybody else I bugged on Facebook to get you guys to listen in and just spread the information, I really, really appreciate it. This is what it's about, education. Educating as many people as I can. Education should be free. Questions should be able to be asked. You should feel comfortable with asking so many different questions, and you should not be made stupid for asking the questions. Anything you should want, I want to be able to help you with that, and I know so many other people that are willing to help as well. It's not just about me. There's a community of us out there with service dogs. It doesn't matter how we train our dogs or what kind of service dog you're looking for. There's so many of us out there. Just have to look us up. We do have a set standard of what we expect our minimal of our dogs to do. And if you want to be able to reach that or you don't understand how to get there, we will help you. Yes, it might cost you some, but you, advice, you know, we should be able to help you in any way we actually really, really can. That's what we're here for. That's what these dogs are for. They're for you, not everybody else. They're for you. That's why they're trying to do a specific task. Any callers yet?
Well, we got callers, but we don't have callers that want to speak. So we got people that are listening. We know they're out there. They know we know they're out there, but we have no questions and we have no comments, which means that you and I have done our job well, because I'm not going to believe that they're just not interested. It means that we've done our job well presenting you as an alternative to other training ways and methods and situations. And now they have another person they can look to, and they have some understanding from the information that you've given. So, Scott, I want to thank you for being on tonight and giving me your time. And we, of course, are going to, you know, stay together and hang out. And because, you know, if I can hang out with people that are second to no one, shoot, that's some pretty strong stuff right there, because I'm pretty strong. And if you're not second to me, boy, that makes you somebody. And that is all right. Those are the kind of people I want to hang with. You're a positive dog trainer just like I am. And so we agree on a whole lot of things. There's some things I need to train you up on, but hey, that's okay. You're out there in San Francisco. I understand y'all think differently out there, but it's okay. And no, so thanks, Scott, for real,
nice
for being on the show and sharing with us.
Thank you, Brad.
And listeners, I want y'all to just go out there and make this man a whole lot of money. If you know anybody out in California, Northern California, or even out that way who Mike can get Scott to come and help him out, you know, refer this guy because he's the real deal. He's real people and his heart's in the right place. So I want to thank everybody for listening. All those folks that tuned in just to hear Scott. Hey, we do this every Monday through Friday, 8 o'clock Eastern time. So we invite you in. Please press follow on the computer there where you logged in to get this. There's a place where you can press follow so you can follow our broadcast. That way you get information about the different episodes that we have coming up and who's on the show. And I would appreciate it if you do that. And that makes me feel a whole lot better. So thank y'all for tuning in for Scott. And I do hope that you stay with me because, you know, you tuned in for Scott and then you got to hear Doc and you said, that guy's pretty cool too. And the information shared on the show can only help you. It'll encourage you. It'll help you. It'll get you someplace where you might want to be and you might want to go. For all my regular listeners, I do appreciate your support and I appreciate you listening on a daily basis. Again, if you know somebody that is a good dog trainer, a good service dog organization, or a business that supports what we do, please let me know about them and let's get them as guests on the show so they can share. And let's raise the water level in our community because when the water level rises, we all rise. And that's what we want to do. We want to get better at what we do, and we want to get better at serving you, the service dog handler, and we want to help you to have better, more healthy dogs. Now, on Monday, unless I get a few more calls, it'll be me on Monday, and we'll be talking about St. Bernard Service Dog Academy. Because the last time we did it several months ago, we had technical difficulties, and I found out later that only half the show got recorded. So we will do that, and the rest of the week we have four really wonderful guests that will be with us. So come back next week, Monday through Friday, 8 o'clock to about 9 o'clock Eastern time, and we'll do it all over again. Until then, be good to yourself. Know that I love you. I want you to love your animals, and they'll love you right back. Be good to the community, and stay plugged in. Don't isolate yourself, and don't be a stranger. God bless you, and good night.